Well, good morning, everyone. I hope there's a few more people listening. It's kind of a small crowd there right now yet, but let's turn to the book of the Psalms. I was reading that there a while ago. I had a birthday, and of course, with the time we're living in, sort of a biggie, but we couldn't really get together with the whole family the way we normally would have, but had a lot of phone calls, and one phone call was from a very good friend of ours that reminded me that I had now reached my allotted 60 or 70 years. And that sort of gave me pause to think a bit. Drew my mind to Psalm 90, of course, where that is mentioned. Beautiful psalm. And then, you know how it goes, you keep flipping through. And one that really caught my eye, it jumped out at me, was Psalm 93. And let's turn there now. Psalm 93 starts out like this. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed and he has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The flood lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. And that first phrase is what really caught my eye. You know, we live in different times now. It's not just a pandemic. That's only small stuff, really. 10 years from now, we'll probably think back on it and sort of chuckle. Things like that have happened in history before, and they will again. And it really isn't that big a deal. Like if, and I know I'm not minimizing the people that get sick, and I'm not minimizing the suffering that is brought and the upheaval that is brought, but there's been years that we had a bad flu outbreak that probably took as many lives as this thing did. You know, and I realize this is probably a lot more contagious, and it's very serious, as those who have had it will know. But what is much worse is been the reaction of the world governments to it. You know, the cynical power grab, the whole, they're talking about a social reset, and they've grabbed this opportunity to, as it were, sweep under the carpet the last remnants of Christianity and church going. And if you look around and if you look back on this past year, the way it's been, it seems like civil disobedience was almost encouraged. That was fine. You want to protest, you want to do stuff, that's okay, you know, that's your right. But then, if you want to gather together as church or as family, no, that's not okay. And I don't have the solution either. But I do know that the political landscape has changed tremendously in the last year, and not for the better. And I realize, you know, we're living in the last days, and it's going to come. It's heading toward world government, and this has given them another notch to ratchet it up a bit more. But then this phrase caught my eye. The Lord reigns. You know, isn't that great? The Lord reigns. Always has and always will. You know, and no matter what happens around us, even if the things we value are being taken away and it seems all the values in our country are being turned on their head. We were talking about truth earlier. And truth seems to have been the biggest casualty in all this. You know, there is no truth anymore. And stuff that a couple of years ago wouldn't have entered your mind, it was too silly to think about, now are being presented as something good and proper and decent. You know, but the Lord still reigns, and the Lord always has reigned. You know, we live in a time of, in the days of Advent, but let's not forget that we're looking for something even greater. You know, the return of our Lord, when everything will be made right. You know, when everything will be done right. And as we read about, I don't know about you, but this time of the year, you sort of think of the Messiah. Most years, you know, we try to at least attend the performance or will listen to it, and we can still do that this year. But beautiful words in there. You know, it starts out with comfort ye, my people. But then it goes to that part about proclaiming the good tidings. You know, and what are those good tidings? It says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, and hear that phrase is again, your God reigns. You know, that's the good news. God reigns. He still reigns with all the stuff that's going on. And as we read to the psalm, we read that the things that we're dealing with today are nothing new. They've always been like that in a sense too. You know, if you think of the time in which these psalms were written, during the kingdom period of Israel, most of them, you know, things were kind of rocky then too, weren't they? You might have a good king and some of those values that we so appreciate were being restored, at least partially. And then you'd have a bad king, a bad leader. And all of a sudden things would go to pot again. And I'm sure as the believers then went through those things, they must have had the same things in mind that we do these days. You know, what's happening? Why are things going so wrong? But then all through those things, the comforting words were that God was still on the throne. He still reigns. Psalm 93 is one of the first of seven messianic psalms. And as you read through them, you can see the promise of the coming Redeemer. And of course, then it was before everything. It was before the cross. It was before the incarnation. And as you read through them, you can just sort of see how it's all going to work out. But one theme that keeps coming back through these psalms is that very first line. The Lord reigns. You know, Psalm 95 there, you see the rock of our salvation. And you see, you know, Psalm 94, how the Lord is in control, how he's going to do it all. But that phrase keeps coming back. You know, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. In Psalm 96, Psalm 97 again, it starts off, the Lord reigns. And then Psalm 98, how the Lord has done marvelous things. And in Psalm 98, we see all nature, even nature itself, joining in that hymn of praise. Sometimes we forget about that. It's not just mankind that was affected by the fall, but nature itself was totally messed up. And it too is looking forward to the return of the Lord. And then again in Psalm 99 there, the Lord reigns. And at Psalm 99, three times that phrase is mentioned, which is also mentioned at the end of Psalm 93, that the Lord, he is holy. The Lord our God is holy. One phrase that caught my eye there too, right at the end of those psalms, it says, you are to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. And I'm sure the writer of that psalm had no idea what that vengeance all included. You know, the people there, they would have looked at these people of Israel, and every time they disobeyed, even though God would forgive, the results of that sin would carry on in their lives, you know. And it's like that today. We do not sin cheaply, not for ourselves, not for the Lord. If we do something that is totally wrong, God will forgive us if we ask. But the results of that sin are not automatically taken away. You know, and you see that in real life. You know, you bash your finger with a hammer, and you know, the pain goes away sort of, but your thumb is still black, right? And it still's got to grow out, and even though you're really, really sorry you hit it, those results don't immediately disappear. They have to work their way out. And that's the way maybe this writer looked at it. But, you know, if we look at what we just celebrated, the Lord's Supper, then we really see how God took vengeance on those rebellious deeds of the people. And I'm sure the people had no idea what it would take to forgive them. And I mean, we all like forgiveness. If we do something wrong, and especially toward the Lord, you know, we ask forgiveness and we know we are forgiven. But do we ever stop and think of the cost? You know, here we see a picture of the cost. What Jesus had to go through. Yeah, and sure, God forgave us. But the penalty of that sin still had to be paid. And that was something, even in the Old Testament, when even the people that were killed in those plagues, you know, as a punishment for their rebellion, even though maybe they had been forgiven spiritually, physically, a lot of them died. But, you know, just dying like that wouldn't begin to pay the penalty for that sin. Because the penalty for sin is eternal. And that's what the Lord Jesus dealt with. That's what we just remembered at the Lord's Supper here. He himself took that penalty and paid every last bit of it. We can't even imagine what that would have taken, what that would have been. And yet, toward us, he can now be that God who forgives. But the Lord reigns. He is still in control. And as we go through this psalm, we can see the different areas of his control. We see his reign in creation. You know, the world is established that it cannot be moved. You know, nowadays we have this whole movement that we got to save the earth. And in a sense, you know, people are right. We need to look after it a whole lot better than we have been doing traditionally. But it is the Lord that keeps it all going. You know, if you look at all these stars and all these planets and all these heavenly bodies spinning around up there in space, billions and billions of them. We have no idea how many there is even. And the Lord keeps them all in control. He knows all the names. They're all in their own different orbit. And, you know, nothing messes up because the Lord has established it. You know, and then it talks about the floods. Well, as we look through Scripture, we see many stories where literally there was floods. You think about the Lord Jesus on earth here and the storm on the sea. And the floods, you know, like those waves beating into the boat. The fishermen, like those disciples with experienced fishermen, they'd spent their lives on that lake. And even those, they were terrified of what was happening. It was totally out of their control. And then when they finally woke the Lord Jesus, he just looked at it and says, "Oh, hush." You know, and there was a great calm. The waves were gone. The lake was like a mirror. There was no more wind. You know, so we see his control in nature. But I think more than that is involved here. It's all those waves and the floods. You know, it talks about the nations of this world rebelling against the Lord. Psalm 2 talks about that time too as well. You know, wherefore do the nations rage? And we see there that all the nations of this earth are gathered together and, you know, trying to get rid of God. In Psalm 2 it says, you know, he that sits on high will laugh. You know, it's not a big deal to him. And here we see the same thing. It says how the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. And, you know, even the physical picture of that is a big thing. We've seen a couple of tsunamis in our lifetime in recent years. And, you know, you see the destruction they do, the awesome power they have. And then you think of the nations, you know, getting together, trying to get rid of God and any sense of religion yet, any sense of true Christianity. You know, you look at the United Nations, you look at that body, and it was started with good intentions. But if you look at all the resolutions they've made, I think something like 90% have been against the state of Israel, against God's people. And you know, there's a reason for that, because it was set up by the flesh, by humans that had nothing to do with true Christianity, and it is against God. And the end desire of them is to take total control of everything without God in the thing there. But you know, look at verse 4 here. It says, well, the Lord on high is mightier. You know, we don't have anything to worry about, even though those things shape up, and we know they will. And even though it looks like everything messes up, we can rest assured in this, that the Lord reigns, always has, always will. No matter what comes along, whether it is a disease or whether it is humans plotting against the Lord, governments plotting against him. Well, the Lord on high is mightier. And there's one more thing there that we can really hang on to. It says, your testimonies are very sure. God's word will last forever. You know, in true history, there have been many attempts to get rid of the Bible, to minimize it, you know, to make it as something that is not true. Nobody's ever been able to disprove it. Nobody's been able to get rid of it. And you could probably think of things in our lifetime that, at least mine, you know, there was this huge press business in Russia, Pravda, I think it was, the ones that used to publish all their communist propaganda. You know, big publishing house. Well, once the communists fell, what happened? They started printing Bibles, you know. And here was the thing that was just totally dedicated to getting rid of Christianity. And they ended up printing Bibles. That's the way the Lord works. He is mightier. He reigns. His testimonies are sure. And then it says, holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. We don't just serve an awesome God. We serve a holy God. We serve a God that is just amazing in everything that is holy and that is beautiful and that is desirable. But that phrase, it echoes through Scripture. The Lord reigns. You know, you can go to the end of Scripture where it talks how everything finally is going to wind down. You know, and then how finally God is going to wrap things up. Revelation 19. Hallelujah. For the Lord God, omnipotent, reigns. Doesn't that excite you? It does me. You know, and Revelation 11 even, right in the middle of that, all that trouble and the tribulation, it's proclaimed, for the Lord God, omnipotent, reigns. You know, and then we see the return of the Lord in power and in majesty. You know, and we see this mighty being on a white horse and leading the saints of heaven, and on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our Lord reigns. We serve an awesome God. We serve a God who has not lost control or sight of what's happening. He reigns, always has, always will. Let's hang on to that. And tomorrow, if you're silly enough to watch the news or look at the newspaper, you know, when that news is tending to discourage you, keep that in mind. It's the Lord that reigns, not man, not some disease, not Satan himself. It's the Lord that reigns. We've just celebrated the memory of a mighty victory. You know, like, I'm sure when Jesus was nailed to that cross, his enemies and Satan himself were sort of chuckling and said, aha, you know, we got him licked now. And they didn't realize that the Lord didn't have to go there. It was all in his plan. He went there willingly and with purpose. He went there to redeem us, to pay the price, to defeat Satan once and for all. And so now he reigns, always has, always will. Remember that.